2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we have, which we command you. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless the message tonight, Lord. And it's just going to be kind of a big amen, exclamation mark at the end of the testimonies. And Lord, I pray that you'll, fasten these things to our hearts. Not only the decisions the young people made, but also, Lord, for all of us, may we just kind of take this moment and may we keep it in our hearts. Think about Sunday school teachers that have taught these kids and nursery workers that have watched these kids and people all over our church who have invested in these young people. And Lord, I pray that tonight the decisions they made, that was an encouragement to our church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And we came off this week of going to the youth conference in Arlington, Texas, and what a blessing. Always come off of a meeting like that, and it's, you know, it's hard to, for if you're not there, you're not there. If you're there, you experienced it, you know. But you come off something like that, and it's an encouragement. It was an encouragement to me. It's been 26 years ago. I was 32 years of age. First time the phone rang, and somebody wanted me to come preach a teen camp. And that summer, I ended up preaching two conferences and a camp. And that's been now 26 years ago. And I will tell you this, preaching at these camps and conferences throughout the last 26 years has always caused me to be optimistic about America's future. It has. I think it allows me a perspective that the average Christian does not have, cannot have, and that's fine. But, you know, sometimes we're not careful, we begin to feel like Elijah, you know, that we're the only one, and our young people sometimes feel like, you know, it's just a handful of us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that are trying to hold the line and do right. Then you go to a conference like this, and over 300 young people show up, and it's just good for our young people to look around and say, hey, God's still working. God's still busy. That's just one conference in Texas. And yet on a normal year, I understand this was not a normal year, but a normal year, normal summer, there would be, I'm not exaggerating, scores and scores and scores of these camps and conferences that are King James Bible, old-fashioned, and preaching standards and preaching surrender and preaching giving all to Jesus. And I will promise you this, there is a remnant of young people out there that still want to do right. I read this verse this week, and it says, in verse number 4, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things we command you. Say, preacher, why do you still have hope for America? I'm always going to have hope for America as long as I see a remnant, a group of young people that still are willing to live for God, love God, respond to Bible preaching, and do the things that they ought to do, do the things that they ought to do. And so I've watched that year in and year out. I've gone to different corners in different of the country and different conferences and different camps and bounced around here and there. And you go to some places where you wouldn't know that there'd be enough churches around to pull something off, and yet here they come. And I'm not kidding you, by the hundreds they come. Young people, I want you to be encouraged by that thought. There are still young people. There are still young people that want to serve God. There are still young people that are serious about it. Still young people that are showing up and surrendering their lives to full-time service and still going to the mission field and still preparing to pastor churches in the future and preparing for full-time service. And there's still young people that are going to these conferences, and you know what? God doesn't call them into full-time service, but you know what? They just, God gives them a heart for their home church, and they just say, you know what? I want to stay here and serve God, and hey, I can run a bus route or teach a Sunday school class or help out in junior's church, and I can work a job and support missions and give my tithes and offerings and keep what God's got going here going. And so there's still young people. I'll have hope for America as long as there's a handful of young people that still get it and still still do what they're supposed to do. Look in verse 1. I'm going to give you five reasons I have hope for America, and don't panic because I know we're a little bit late, and I'll tell you what Elizabeth Taylor said to her fifth husband, and that is, I won't keep you long, okay? So I'm not going to keep you long tonight, all right? So number 1. There are still young people. Number 1, look at verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. There are still young people who allow God's word to have free course in their life. And that's a wonderful little phrase there. I hope that it's not just young people. I hope that you as a Christian, this would be a wonderful, wonderful thing to check out in your life. Can I ask you a question? Does the word of the Lord have free course in your life? Preacher, what does that mean, that free course? Well, what that means is that a river or a stream has free course if it is allowed to flow without resistance. Okay, allowed to flow without resistance. And so there's still young people that just show up, and you know what? They just open up their heart wide. They open up their heart wide, and then they open up their Bible wide. And they just look at the Word of God and listen to a preacher, and then they look back down at the Bible, and if God's Word is saying amen to what the preacher's saying, you know what? They just let it have free course in their life. You know, Ian had let God's word have free course in his life this week. You know, he'd made a decision, and God put him under Holy Spirit conviction that even though he'd gone through the motions of being saved, and people thought he was saved, that he'd never experienced what the Bible says true salvation was. By the way, he wasn't the only one. Donald Ward caught me after the first service, and he said, I got to talk to you. And boy, he was serious-minded. He sat down with me on a back pew, and he said, Pastor, I listened to what you said tonight about salvation and what it truly was. And he said, you know, when I came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, listen to this testimony. When I came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know, he said, I just wanted to fit in so bad, I was pretty much willing to do whatever I thought would help me to fit in. And he said, if they said I needed to be saved, I'd go ahead and just do that. Sure, why not? But he said, you know what, even though I did all that I could to change outwardly to conform to what's going on around me, he said, I realized tonight my problem and most of my struggles since I supposedly got saved is I never was under Holy Spirit conviction. I never truly received Christ as my Savior. I was just doing something that I thought would help me fit in. And I looked at him and I said, how about tonight? Do you feel the convicting power of the Spirit of God upon him? And he just looked at me and said, I do, and I need to be saved. And, you know, Donald received Christ as his Savior, you know. And folks, if we're not careful, sometimes we see an outward confirmation or conformity to what is preached and taught. But you know what? You can conform outwardly and still not be born again. And he called me this afternoon. I was getting ready to run up to see Mom at the hospital, and the phone rang. He said, you got just a minute? I said, yeah. He said, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, tell me. And he said, I got my dad to come to church for the first time with me, attended church with Donald. So my dad had already been saved, but he said he went forward and he got the assurance of his salvation. And I said, you know what? It's sure a lot easier to influence your family for Christ once you truly get saved. He started laughing. He said, yeah, it sure is. You got God's help then. And so we had a time of rejoicing. Listen. You know why I can still have hope for America? Because I can come to a place like Blessed Hope Baptist Church and preach and watch people allow the Word of God to have free course in their life. When I see that, I think to myself, you know what? A born-again Christian with an open heart and a willingness to follow the Bible cannot be stopped. I'm telling you, if God's on your side and you're on God's side, look out, world. And so I was so excited about that. Thank you for that, church, and thank you, young people. I can go to a place like the youth conference in Arlington, Texas. And I'm not saying it was true to every kid there, but the vast majority of those young people in those youth groups, you could see they came and they allowed the Word of God to have free course in their life. I'll always have hope for America as long as the people of God allow God's Word to have free course in their life. Number 2, look at verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You know why I still have hope in America? Because there are still young people who will dare to live by faith. Folks, the Christian life is a life that has to be lived by faith. The just shall live by faith. As long as there's a group of young people that just say, you know what, if God speaks to my heart, I'm going to step out. If God calls me to do something, I'm going to do it. If God asks me to give something up, even if I don't even realize all the reasons, by faith, I'm just going to obey God. I'm just going to obey God. I want to say a word of encouragement to our young people. Don't let the events of this year cause you to grow timid. I mean that. I want you to dare to dream. I want you to dare to follow the Lord. I want you to dare to pursue the will of God. I want you to dare to live by faith. Let me tell you something. The greatest works that were done that we read about in the Bible were in the book of Acts during a time where, my goodness sakes, you talk about a time where it was tough to be a Christian and obstacles to overcome. But you know what? A group of people said, you know what? We're going to live by faith. We're going to step out. We're just going to follow God, His individual leading in our life. This week we saw young people step out by faith, surrender to preach, step out by faith, and surrender to their lives fully and wholly to the Lord. And as long as there's a people, listen, this applies to all of us. As long as there's a church in this area that's willing to live by faith. And thank you, church. Thank you, church, for doing this. People are amazed when they ask me, well, how far along are you back to normal at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? And I'll say, well, number one, we never have been normal, so I don't know if we can ever get back to something we never have been. But they really cannot believe it when I say, you know, we're 98, 99% back to where we were before. And they just kind of look at you like, you are? And you know what? I told our folks when we started things back up, we're not going to drag our feet. We're going to be the tip of the spear in this area. We're not going to try to live in fear. We're going to live by faith. We're going to get after it and keep after it. And we're going to do the things that God's called us to do. And folks, you know what? We've been running the bus ministry for 47 years here. You know what? It was time to get the buses back on the road. We've been soul winning for 47 years. It's time to go soul winning again. And, what I'm saying is this. Listen, I've said from the beginning, I'm not going to throw rocks and judge other ministries because people's circumstances are different. But I do believe that you cannot live a Bible Christianity unless you're willing to step out by faith. And we just have to trust the Lord. We have to do what God's called us to do. And so as long as there's a people that's willing to live by faith, there's hope for America. Number three, look at verse number three. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I want to say this. There are still young people who are daring to live a separated life. They're asking God to establish them. They're asking God to keep them from evil. They're not pursuing evil. They're asking God to keep them from evil. I think it was very, very encouraging to see a group of young people show up. And you know, I think, you know what, sometimes people just need to show up at these places and look around and realize that a lot of the idiot things that are being said on the internet just are not true. The idea that everybody's given up on old-time religion, everybody's given up on standards, and nobody's living the separated life anymore, that's the biggest lie that's being propagated by the devil. There's young people that still have Bible standards. There's young people that aren't interested in mimicking the world. There's young people that are still walking with God, walking with God. You know what? The closer you get to God, the more of His holiness that will challenge you to live a different kind of life. There's still young people who will dare to live a separated life. Brother Nichols got up and he, for those of you that I've showed the picture, the Beauty and the Beast picture of my grandson, he actually put that up on the screen and showed the entire youth conference. If you haven't seen that, come show me. It's worth looking at. It really is. I don't know, again, whether or not to be ashamed or proud. I don't know what to do on this, but my grandson's a beast. He's a beast. And Brother Nichols was telling about the fact of our relationship and the fact that we share grandchildren. And he said this. Listen to this, parents. He said this. He said, me and my wife, he said the whole time our children were growing up, he said, we'd pray, oh God, please, let there be. He said, when I had my oldest boy, AJ, I began to pray, Lord, please, let there be a family somewhere in America that'll raise a daughter and raise a daughter like we're raising our son. Old time religion, King James Bible, standards, separation. And he said, you know what? I used to have people, I'd say that out loud in my church, and I'd have people come to me and say, there isn't anybody like that exists anymore. Nobody raises kids like you're raising kids. But you know what? Isn't it interesting? There's two young people that just decided that they weren't going to believe the world, and they were going to keep themselves from evil, and they were going to head towards God and follow His leading and His will. And guess what? God allowed them to find each other. I want to say that as a word of testimony to you young ladies, you young men, because I know sometimes, a lot of times, sadly, the young people that compromise or fall by the wayside or go prodigal, they get way too much airtime. But I'm going to tell you something. Below the surface, just quietly, there's a lot of young people just preparing themselves and living by faith and keeping themselves from evil and keeping themselves pure and trusting God. And you allow God to work things out. Look, if you will, to verse number 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. That's why I have hope for America. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. There are still young people who have a teachable spirit. And that was evident at the conference. It was evidenced during the invitation. Brother O taught twice on the subject of friends, and I was encouraged to watch the young people go forward and make decisions about the type of people that they were going to surround themselves with. Not only to find the right kind of friends, but more importantly, to be the right kind of a friend to somebody else. I thought there's still people that have a teachable spirit. I'll listen to Brother Nichols, and he's given his testimony here, but he gave it in a sermon where he was really encouraging us to be a Barnabas to somebody else. And I thought to myself, I wonder how he's going to give his testimony, repackage that for a youth conference. He did an amazing job. I told him about two-thirds, I told him afterwards, I said about two-thirds through your testimony, your sermon, I said I felt what I felt a few times, a handful of times. It's always exciting. I'm sitting on the front pew, but I hear all of a sudden the auditorium go dead silent. I call it the perfect silence. And you feel the presence of the God begin to move in. And you know what? You can sense the working of God. Listen, I'm not a spooky Christian, but I believe in a real God and a real Holy Spirit that does amazing works in the lives of people. It's amazing to be in that kind of a service, because about the last third, I'm just sitting back on the front row smiling, because you know what? I can feel what God's doing, and I know what's about to happen. Oh, Brother O, he got up, and he was watching the invitation and wasn't sure what to do, and he goes over and sits by Brother Nichols, and him and his wife have been praying, and he's crying, and he's looking around, and he's looking at his schedule, and then he's looking around, and he's looking at his schedule. So he goes and sits by Brother Nichols, and he says, I don't know what to do. You know what? The good advice at that point is you don't do anything. You just get out of the way and let God do what He's doing. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of that kind of a service. And you know why? You know why? Because young people still have a teachable spirit, a spirit that will respond. Did you see what that verse said? And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. One of the messages that I preached that was live streamed, that our church wasn't gathered to hear, but you were able to hear online, was the rarest prayer in the Bible, the rarest prayer in the Bible. I've had two or three, four maybe different men in my church right here in the church that came to me and said, that may have been the most important message that you preached during that time. And it wasn't so much like many of the other messages, a message designed to, you know, encourage us and get us through the tough times. But it really was kind of one little Sunday night, just throw the gauntlet down in the middle of it, and let's not forget, we can't just encourage, let's challenge, you know. But you know, I believe that the rarest prayer that's being prayed, rarest prayer you'll find in the Bible, and rarest prayer probably being prayed today is this: teach me, O Lord. Teach me, O Lord. If you'll bring to church, and you'll bring to your Bible reading time, a teachable spirit, and you pray that prayer, God will teach you amazing things. I won't embarrass her. I won't tell you which girl. And sometimes I'm a little careful about putting our kids up on a pedestal, because it seems like when you do, the devil seems more determined to knock them off of it. But young lady handed me her Bible and wanted me to look at something. And as I was flipping through her Bible, I came and opened the front cover. And after that message, this was probably 3 or 4 or 5 weeks after that message, she had taped in the front of her Bible a big card this big in large letters that said, "Teach me, oh Lord." Hey, as long as there's young people that listen to a message like that, which was not an easy message, and are willing to take it to heart to the point where they're willing to print that out, put it in the front of their Bible before they open it, pray that prayer before they open it every time, there is still hope for America. Number five, look if you will into verse five, we're done. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. There's still young people wanting to find and do the will of God. Let the Lord direct your hearts. He'll direct your hearts into the love of God, and he'll direct your heart into the patient waiting for Christ. And I know that's talking about Christ's return, but young people, there's also some patient waiting that has to be done in a lot of areas of your life. You know what? Be willing to just be patient and wait until God reveals his will to you. And be patient. Don't get in a hurry. You say, preacher, I've surrendered to God's will for my life, but I don't know what that is. Well, you know what? God has a way. Let me say this. God has a way of keeping us in suspense. And sometimes God won't tell you the next step until you take the one he's already shown you. And that's the way life is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my... Hey, it's not some big giant beam that you can shine all the way down to the finish line. You know what it is? It just sheds enough light for you to take one more step. And aren't you glad that, you know, we get to the end of our life and we can say, Jesus led me all the way. He led me all the way. And so... Preacher, are you discouraged? No. Preacher, you see the news? I know. And all the crazy, I get it. But I'm going to tell you something. I came back from this week encouraged. Because there are still young people. There's still young people all across this country that there's some things they've decided. They're going to allow God's word to have free course in their life. They're going to dare to live by faith. They're going to dare to live a separated life. They're going to have a teachable spirit. And they want to find and they want to do the will of God. Hey, as long as we have kids like that, you know what? I can have hope for America. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for what we've heard tonight, and thank you for the Bible. And Lord, I pray that you'll use the scriptures. Lord, what we just looked at, just went through five verses, pointed out some things. But Lord, I pray, I think to myself, if a Christian, whether it's a teenager, whether it's an adult, if they can get these five things squared away in their life, then there's hope for America. There is hope for America. There's hope for the next generation. Lord, we know as we get closer to the end times, that there's going to be some dark days. The Bible calls them perilous times. Perilous times shall come. Lord, the darker the night, the brighter the light. What an opportunity for this generation to make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that I can come back to our church after a week in a youth conference with our teens there to bear witness that this is true. That God is still on his throne and God is still working in people's lives, and there is a generation that still has a hunger for the things of God and a desire to serve him. So Lord, I pray that we'll fasten these things to our heart. I don't want us to trudge through the rest of 2020 with a discouragement in our hearts. I want us to march through the rest of 2020 with a hope and a confidence in the Lord, because there's still God's remnant out there. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to desire to be a part of it. Pray these things in Jesus' name.